dwelling in the darkest depths of the mind, it's time for Mark D. Valenti and Brain Burrow.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark D. Valenti, and welcome to Brain Burrow. This is one of our Digging Deep sessions where we have a chance to truly dig deep with our guests, where they have a chance to talk about their fears, values, hopes, and dreams. And from there, it's up to you, the viewer and listener, to decide, how does this relate to my life? So I have a very special guest this evening, a close friend, I would say, and director, and I'm going to give her this opportunity to talk about herself by asking her the big open-ended question, who is Bianca Crespo?
Oh my, how do I get into this? Well, I guess you could say I am a creative, and that kind of, I think, covers everything. I'm very creative, but I'm also professional. I'm very organized, very family oriented. I thought I was an LA person, but I am not. I moved from LA, oh dear, I'd have to say officially over a year ago, right before the world kind of turned took quite the turn for the apocalypse. But I think we're all surviving despite it. I think I'm also a survivor in that sense. I've been through a lot. I guess not too many people know this, but I've been close to death twice in my life. And both times in Los Angeles, actually. I've seen quite a bit of the world, and it's bizarrely all happened in my 20s, and I'm not in my 20s anymore, but I am happy to still be here and be creating weird art, you know, and creating weird art with you, Mark. So I guess that's me. Mostly.
I was going to say, you gave a lot to kind of delve into there. I mean, a lot. Where to start? Well, I think clearly when you entice us with hearing about you being close to death twice, how do you feel about talking about that?
I don't mind, actually. I'm trying to, I guess, go full steam ahead into this year with being a little bit more open and honest about certain things in my life. Just to make it more comfortable, I guess, for others to kind of feel more comfortable, in general, in terms of, you know, essentially what I'm going to say, and in terms of being close to certain, you know, death and everything, and feel like they're not alone with certain things, I guess. I guess the first time in Los Angeles, I was in a very dark place, very kind of, I was overworked. I was a typical Hollywood assistant, you know, running around, getting coffee, making sure I didn't piss anyone off in terms of getting them, you know, a cappuccino that was only half foam and not full, you know, like very particular, you know. I remember there was an instance where there's a certain producer who actually, his wife called in and he was in a meeting. And she needed me to ask him if he preferred cookie dough bars over chocolate bars. And she was at Whole Foods at the time. And he was in a very important meeting, but she was also his wife. And she was demanding that I go ask him. And I said, I cannot. But she was getting very angry. So it was kind of this is the weirdest kind of thing I've been involved in. And young blood Bianca, just creeped into the meeting room, and I should have passed the post-it note along to him to ask, but I just announced it because I thought it was a casual kind of meeting, and I said, I'm sorry, your wife wants to know. And then, you know, of course I asked him, and everyone kind of laughed it off, like it was funny, you know, of course. And then she said, thank you so much, you saved me so much. And I'm thinking, oh my God, why would you have me ask him this? This is the weirdest, like, you don't put me in this kind of position, lady. I don't care if they have certain, like, bars at Whole Foods. You talk to him, you text him, you don't call me. So, anyway, so again, dealing with different personalities in LA, among other things, and just being in terms of putting yourself out there several times and essentially kind of just being crushed several times and having to build like thick skin. I had sort of been, you know, I had actually thought about, you know, in my dark times, like there was a bridge in Pasadena that was known for, you know, very, you know, sad people, and you could fix the problem easily with that kind of thing. And like there was, of course, Mulholland Drive, where people have also done certain things like that. And I had been in a dark place at one point where I was thinking of just, you know what, maybe, you know, it's not worth it. Maybe this is, you know, with certain things that had happened, in terms of personal life, creative work, because I've always been very hard on myself, because I know that I have certain capabilities that are very unique, and very talented. So I'm my own worst critic, I guess you could say. And when, you know, you reach a certain point where you're putting yourself out there incredibly, and people essentially backstab you, or that you find out they're using you, or, you know, you deal with certain, you know, I guess, sexual assault, a lot of things that happen at once. And then you feel, you know, hopeless, because when I was out there, I had no family. I had maybe one or two good friends I could really trust. And, it's hard, like anything in life, to be put through such a machine and to feel completely, you know, like you've been used and you're not worth anything because people don't really see what you have to offer, even though you're constantly offering it. So, and it's very cold, kind of isolated experience. So I had been like very sort of close to just, that's it, you know, kind of thing. Because it was very, being separated from people who really do care about me so far, and to be in a world where people do not care about you at all, it's very dark. But I found a lot of, you know, I feel hope in my art. Like I remember getting a lot of the dark energy and really channeling it actually into my writing and stories. And I remember writing this short story that's going to be a collection that I publish later this year that essentially deals with a girl who's sort of on the edge, literally, of course, and, you know, figuratively. And there's someone who kind of comes across her path and just kind of saves her. And I feel like that kind of life experience really shapes your creative material in a really authentic and very genuine kind of way. Because I feel like I have such a great support system overall. I mean, I was in such dark times, but I know that I don't, like now especially, I would never do something like that, because just realizing, you know, there are people who care about me. I am, you know, a strong woman. And again, I'm just grateful also in a weird way to be at that point. And because, you know, I feel like now I have such a reflective kind of mindset, you know, and I'm very appreciative now, especially after last year too. You know, I'm like tremendously overall very happy. And of course there've been things now like that have happened, but, it's kind of like, it's bizarrely beautiful in a way, to go through such hard, rough kind of ordeals, but, to really come out on the other side and realize that there are very deeply creative, incredible people in my life, who have been there for me and who just want to see me, you know, do what I'm sort of on this world, you know, on this earth to do. And, it was a weird world, Los Angeles. Yeah. It really was. But here, I'm talking too much.
First of all, I'm not talking too much. If you notice, this show is about the guest talking. I'm just here to ask some questions, that's all. But yeah, I mean, Bianca, knowing you, you're somebody who a lot of people look at as a leader, you know, not just as the director you are and the intelligent person you are, but, you know, you're a business person as well. And a lot of people look at you as a foundational part of their life, as somebody who they can go to. So for you to talk about your vulnerabilities like you did in a pretty vulnerable time, you know, it says a lot about your courageous approach to be able to do that. And I'm wondering, how does it feel to kind of talk a bit about some of those times?
It feels good, actually. It feels very freeing, and it feels very, I guess, mature to sort of think back on it and reflect and, you know, realize that that was a part of my life that really shaped my character and kind of molded me to who I am now, as in like a tough boss bitch kind of thing. But you know what I mean? In terms of just not, you know, realizing that I do have that vulnerability and accepting it and kind of making it a good positive trait and not something that could be a weakness. You know, it's whereas like I feel like back then it's like, oh, I was always very like, I hated vulnerability. It's like, I can't cry. Like, I can't do this. Like, I can't show any kind of like emotion in that, like in public or in front of certain people, because I feel like they'll take advantage of it, use it against me somehow. I've become less paranoid since then, but I do feel that, I feel, you know, very content with myself, and very, very much happy that I went through something that hard in such an early stage in my life, because, again, I can look back on it and I can really look ahead in a very positive light. So it's it was a very helpful experience despite.
Yeah, you're right. That's a very emotionally mature approach to a situation that was pretty pivotal point in your life. So I, you know, give you credit for being able to look at that in that way, that and channel that energy in the way that you did.
Yeah. Thank you. It's quite the experience, but I am I'm just glad to be out of there.
Well, and if you don't mind me asking, because again, people have written to me and said that they really appreciate whenever there's guests on here who talk basically what you're doing about their vulnerabilities because they find inspiration in it. So during those dark times, as you called them, you know, you were able to, you know, channel, refocus. I mean, it's not easy, right? We're talking about it now, you know, it's over the matter of seconds, but in reality, I'm sure it took a while to get there. So how were you able to turn around where you were and channel, as you said, the energies into something positive?
I feel like it was that instance of, you know, those thoughts. And also there was a certain instance where I was involved with this family who I thought they were very, you know, at the time very near and dear to me. But there was a certain complication where there was a lot of jealousy involved, and I felt like my life was in danger to a certain extent. And there was one night where I realized like I had this instinct where I was not okay and I should get out of the situation right now, or it will not be good kind of thing. And I feel like in that moment, and then the days that sort of followed that incident, this is going to sound maybe a little cheesy, but like just sort of staring death in the face like that, it was very, I kind of felt empowered. Like I had sort of seen, I've been close to something I had, you know, like everyone fears in their life. It's like the greatest fear, sure. Really. When it comes down to it, between that and public speaking, apparently. So
I hear.
yes. Sort of just staring in the face and just coming to terms with it and thinking like, okay, it's here. I can walk away from it. Like that's it, you know, and I've seen it. And it's sort of like after that, it got better. Usually whenever something like that occurs in terms of not, you know, that severe, but something dark or something bad in my life, especially after that, I reevaluate everything. And again, I just kind of go into this survivor kind of mode where it's like, all right, you know, fight or flight, or, you know, just figure it out and you'll be better. And I feel like it's mostly because of my parents too, because my father was very much, you know, he ventured out from Portugal with not knowing a word of English, not knowing really anything about what he wanted to do. And he got involved in construction and started his own business. And he had several really like bad times. Like he thought like he wanted to give up, and he just kind of kept going. And because like essentially like me, like I'm very much like him, where it's like, well, what else is there? Like, what else am I going to do? You know, and this is what I want to do. And I'm just going to keep going. And it's this like little monster inside. Just like, don't be a bitch. Come on, let's go. Like, keep going. Like, well, what are you doing? Like, get your shit together, you know? So it's, it's like that Portuguese zest that's inside of us. I guess it's that like little spice that just tells me like, stop. It's going to be okay. Keep going. You know, you've dealt with the dark stuff. Like, just keep going. It'll get better. And it has, you know, so it's sort of like a testament to that. And, but so yeah, it just comes down to just being a survivor and just having these instincts that kick in, like that crazy Portuguese side of me is just like, all right, no. Like, right. What are you doing? Like,
yeah.
Don't embarrass our family, you know?
No, that's, but, yeah, the generation speaking to you and saying, you know, keep the name moving forward. So. Yeah,
exactly. That's right. Don't disappoint us. What
well, first I want to thank you for doing the inevitable, which was having me rate this as an E episode now because of the swearing, which is fantastic. It's okay. Don't, that's good. But as I mentioned, you're free to say whatever you want, and I just rate it as E. Second of all, I do want to talk about, you know, your family as part of that. And, you know, but before I talk about that, I want to talk about balance, right? I mean, you're talking about that drive, the drive to keep creating. You talked about weird art, which I want to understand more about what that means. How do you balance, you know, being driven, which is fantastic, it causes you to create, but also balance being satisfied with the things you've done already? So how do you do that? Or do you struggle with that? Okay.
It's hard.
Okay.
I do struggle with that. It's very, I try to keep a level head about certain things, and I try to, I guess also like one of my flaws is like, so I try to keep everyone happy too, and I try to keep like a certain balance with everything in terms of juggling. And at the same time, I feel like if I'm not doing enough, I don't feel like myself, you know, and if I'm not like balancing certain things and everything sort of, you know, it's, yeah, that sort of comes down, that like brings me to, in terms of juggling several things at once, I always get like this, not fear of missing out, but I feel like it's been ingrained in me ever since I was like trained to be a Hollywood assistant, where it's sort of like, I should be doing something and this could be better, or this could be that. And so, yeah, I think it's a struggle. Like it doesn't matter. Like I don't really always, I feel like I never have that balance because I always feel like I can do better, or this can be better, you know? So yeah, it's kind of like a day-to-day thing. I'm still trying to figure it out, you know, try to be human about it, I guess.
Allowing yourself to be human is definitely a fantastic approach. And have there ever been times whenever you were able to say, okay, what I've done is good? You know, it doesn't mean I'm not trying to improve, but has there ever been a time when you've been satisfied with your work and what you've done?
I guess, that's a toughie. Now I feel like there is a little bit of satisfaction in my past work. And there was an immersive horror, I guess, experience I produced back in LA. And all the elements really came together, and we sold out 6 nights, and then we did 2 encore shows. And it was a very intimate kind of experience where we invited people to a secret seance, and we had contemporary dancers there, and one performed an exorcism, you know, for like the interactive dance, and it was very intense. And I mean, one guy walked out with a panic attack. It was that kind of very immersive art. And then we did these really cool promos to kind of get the word out about the show with my awesome DP, Steven, who's been like my right-hand guy. He's been awesome. I was proud of that. I mean, again, because of creative differences, we kind of went our different separate ways. But I felt like there were so many elements that just worked, you know, with the choreographer who had her great dancers, and they were all very talented. And I kind of just ran the marketing about it and helped shape the story, where it was like her dance art form that she called like horror dance, I believe. And it does, like, it involves a lot of like, cracking and like Linda Blair moves, and it's very like uncomfortable. So I feel like I was pretty proud of that. And in terms of like the theater side, and there was even like a horror, like a scene from a horror ballet I wrote, we performed in LA, that was also like a Victorian Gothic genre, and we performed in front of a live audience, and it was like there was like everyone was applauding, everyone loved it, and that was kind of like one of those moments too where I was like, all right, now I'm satisfied. Like, I felt like there was good work put into it, but then like seeing the audience reaction and having everyone be entertained, I mean, I don't care if you dislike it or like it, like if you're entertained, like that's awesome. If you have fun. And in terms of this film, I'm still finding my way with that. I'm not fully satisfied because I feel like I'm still learning the ropes with that. I feel like with this next movie that should be released by later this year, I feel like we did so much. We put so much work into it, just considering everything we put into it. Sorry, that's my werewolf. It's a full moon. I feel like we did a lot with what we had and what we dealt with. Between the protests, the riots, we were in the thick of it, you know, and then COVID happening and people being there every day to, like, actually do, like, again, weird art, which you touched, like I touched upon. Creating something that's, you know, unique and has something to say in a different way, whether it be, you know, figuratively or physically, like transformative, as you well know with the movie, but we can't tell anyone.
Fair.
I feel like, again, I am reaching a satisfaction of like, I can't touch it. Like it's done, it's over. So accepting the work that was put into it at the time and knowing what I did know at the time and accepting that is becoming more of a relieving process for me. And having satisfaction with I'm a work in progress. My art is, and what we did was the best thing we could do at that time. So I am satisfied in that way. If that makes sense.
It makes a ton of sense. You know? But what I hear is someone at the beginning of this discussion saying that you really, really struggle with that. But yet I heard you list two examples of times when you were able to say, you know what? What I did was pretty good and I'm satisfied. So, yeah. So how do you...
Yeah, I'm still like, I'm up in the air. Like, I'm still like looking back and I think talking to you, like I find comfort in like, you know, maybe I should reflect and maybe I should give myself some credit, you know, kind of thing. I've done quite a bit of, I've done theater and film, and it's, they're both interesting mediums for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You've done so much, considering again, how old you are, how your age is, which is, you know, you've already alluded to that, but you've done a lot in the time, in the time that you've been here. Right. But I think the question for you is, Bianca, is what would it take for you to continue to reflect and look at the positives that you've accomplished?
What would it take me to reflect on experiences? I mean, just, I guess, more sort of experience in terms of just really putting myself out there with more work and more, and testing what I have to show and what I want to say with art and writing. And, I feel like, and just sort of seeing the process, because this will be my first feature. And then we'll, you know, have distribution and everything. And then seeing how people react to it and what that's like, cause I've always been on the other side of things as just a cinephile and watching movies as you have it and just seeing things and thinking like, oh, that's so cool. And even that, like as a different process, you know, because like, you know, you're younger, you don't really realize what what's incorporated and what goes into it, the heart, the like behind the scenes. Like you start to realize that as you get older. That's something also I've realized as well. And being also in the industry, for like over, God, like 8 years now, I've grown such a tremendous appreciation for everyone on the crew and like, and actors in general and what they're put through. The actors on set for Freak, I had, Amelia and Shelby and Kenton and then, of course, Debbie, who was our wonderful, of course, she was stuck in Canada. Unfortunately, she had to do a voiceover, but her and Jody, they were all just so just great. And just seeing their process on set and seeing them sort of bring to the table what we all had in mind and having this kind of like kumbaya, like Zen experience on set was so unique and so just so nice and rare, you know, and it seemed like everyone was really on set to do the work and to have fun. And there was such a pot, like, I think you can, I don't, you can talk about it. Like there was such a positive energy on set, you know, it was fun. Yeah, it was great. So I think, yeah, I just lost track of what I was saying.
It's all right. No, but, it was about reflecting on, you said that you struggle sometimes with recognizing the things you've accomplished for, and balancing that right. with the drive. And then you've listed some great opportunities where you did reflect. And moving forward, you said it's really just challenging yourself, you know, jumping in the deep end sometimes right. and then just sort of experiencing it and reflecting on the experience.
Right. So. It's like, I had a boss I used to work for a talent agency who... it was my first day on the job. He handed me this movie. It's Swimming with Sharks with Kevin Spacey. And I was thinking, oh geez. So this is what it's going to be like. And there was a nice little metaphor in there, like despite like everything being put through that and that crazy job, I feel like I thrive more when I'm just kind of pushed into the deep end and really kind of just thrown in, like, swim with the sharks, you know, just fend it off, like, do what you can, like, fend it off and just, you know, keep swimming. Oh, God, I hate that I said that. Keep swimming. I just feel like I thrive in just fighting and just kind of, surviving in that sense.
And you don't seem to spend a lot of energy lamenting experiences in the past or regretting. You look at them as more as learning opportunities and sometimes fabulous failures.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's because I feel like if you regret things in life, then what's the point? You know, and it's, you should just kind of use them as like the stepping stones. And that's like, that was me. And that's what I went through because I was that, you know, I was that age and my brain wasn't that developed. Like pretty realistically. And it's good to make mistakes. If you're not making mistakes, then you're not growing as a person. Which I think is also just, you know, that sort of says a lot for our society in general today, where I feel like people don't want other people to grow or learn from their experiences in terms of cancel culture and all that, but that's a different discussion.
But it's relevant, right? Because even mm-hmm. from a young age, even in school, we're taught if you don't get certain grades, then you're not good enough. And if you don't, and yes, I agree. There's a lot of, we can say all we want that, oh yeah, it's okay to fail and all these other things. But in real life, we see oftentimes that people are shamed almost whenever they make, you know, human mistakes.
Exactly. And it's sort of like people are, it's turned into such a witch mob of things. And I feel like people, I use that loosely because it's hard to find people nowadays, but there are people who feel like, or lose, you know, I guess the sense that we're human beings. Mm-hmm. I think because everyone's like on their phones, we've become completely robotic, you know, and we are like cyborgs and Skynet has taken over, but it's almost official. I feel that we kind of are, and people are just losing sight of, we make mistakes. We have made mistakes. People have made mistakes in the past, but they're not who they were yesterday. You know what I mean? And you can't kind of, I mean, dependent. You can't really you know, condemn really someone for something they did in the past so harshly. Of course, you know, dependent, but still it's, yeah, you know, we're all learning and growing and stumbling our way through this life. And
that's right.
I feel like there needs to be a little more forgiveness.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. Now we are pretty much out of time. So I'm trying to think of what's a good last question for you, because there's so much, and maybe there's a part two in all this at some point, if you're ever willing to come back, you never know.
Sure. So, whatever, anything for you, Mark.
Yes, no, thanks. I appreciate that. So you've already talked a bit about what drives you. You've already kind of talked about, you know, where your opportunities are and where your strengths are. You mentioned about becoming disconnected as a society. So I'm wondering, what message would you give people out there if they feel that they're disconnected? What recommendations, what thoughts do you have about ways that people can better connect with each other? We'll leave it. That'll be the last question I ask you.
That's a good one. You're good, Mark. That's a good question. That's very, very, very thoughtful. I think reconnection in response to that. Get off your phone. Mm-hmm. Go outside. Now, I mean, you really can meet in person now, so mm-hmm. stop using certain things as an excuse.
Good point.
Like, go for a walk in the park. It's as simple as that, you know, go write, like get a pen or get a pencil, like learn, you know, relearn what it's like to like do that and write like a journal, do something, get your thoughts out there. Don't put your thoughts online, you know, and try to like refrain from just word vomiting all over social media and putting dirty laundry on social media, because really ultimately, depending on who you are, like you're doing it for like self sort of, you know, pats on the back. I mean, really. I mean, again, we're all like human and stuff. I mean, most of the time when you post something, it's not for what you really want it to be. And I feel like this disconnect with people and people yelling at each other online, all these arguments and all this anger. I mean, there's a screen right in front of you. I mean, there's no consequence. There's no, like, if I put this out into the interwebs, then it's like, I can just hop offline. Mm-hmm. That's it. Whereas like, you know, in high school, you could say something to someone and they punch you in the face or they'd like throw you into a locker. You know, I mean, that wasn't my experience, but I'm just saying in terms of there's a certain reaction, you know, that happens.
That's right.
And I feel like that disconnection, we're losing the reaction to people saying things. I mean, there's a delay there.
That's right.
So I feel like people need to kind of just get off their phones, take a break from social media, go outside and like go hang out with your friends, be with people you care about, and go create stuff, you know, to give your brain a break. Because if you're constantly like on the phone, you're going to burn out. I mean, I've done that several times. I still say that from experience. So I've made it my goal this year to kind of just refrain, step back. So I guess simple terms to just step back and like reflect and realize and question everything. And don't, you know, don't make assumptions. Don't make quick judgments. Stepping back, having patience will teach people to think again and really like think about what the next step is going to be, as opposed to just reacting and then not really getting a reaction ultimately. You know, it's right. A weird thing. It's a weird world that we live in right now, I guess you could say.
Well, it absolutely is. And I appreciate you sharing your perspective on that. So the main theme that's worked for you, and I agree with it, is a way to, for all of us, to purposefully pause before we react. So.
Yes.
So well said, Bianca. Thank you for sharing your perspective.
Thanks,
on that.
Mark.
Sure. Well, I want to thank you for being on the program. It was fantastic to hear about some of your experiences and what you learned from them and perspective. So thank you.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure to be on. You have a way to get me to talk about certain things that I don't usually talk about with most people, which is good. You're a very good interviewer. So I was really impressed with this. This is, you're the next Oprah.
Well, I appreciate that. You're always very positive and uplifting to other people. So thank you very much for that, Bianca.
Of course. Okay. No problem. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Okay, well, So I want to thank the listeners and the viewers, of course, for tuning in as well to Brain Burrow. On behalf of Bianca Crespo, this is Mark DiValenti and Brain Burrow. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
You just dug deep with Mark D. Do you want more? Follow Mark on Instagram @ValentiHorror and subscribe to the Brain Burrow podcast.